So last year we discussed several links between the mitzvah of Kriya Shema and that of Talmud Torah, both of which serve as a form of Kabbalah Samach Hushamayim. And we started to discuss the various shittas Rishonim, what constitutes the mitzvah of Kriya Shema min HaTorah, whether it's the first pasuk, the first parsha, second parsha, and the Chiddush of the Rambam, that all three parshiyos seem to be Daraisa. The obvious question, how can that be? After all, isn't it clear from the Gemara Brachos and Daf Yud Beis that the third parsha is simply the kiyum of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? And as we elaborate on the Chiddush of Soloveitchik Zichron Levracha, that perhaps the Rambam Shita is that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not an independent kiyum, but rather is considered to be part of Yichud Hashem, part of Kabbalah Samalchu Shemayim, and in fact, as Reb Chaim comments, the Rambam does not count Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim independently as a mitzvah at all, but rather the Rambam labels all three parshiyos of Kriya Shema as daraisa. And we discussed many rayas indicating that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, to an extent, is patterned after the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the following chiddush of the opening lines of the Rambam in Hilchos Kriya Shema. The Rambam tells us that pamayim b'chol yom korin Kriya Shema be'erev u'baboker. A person is obligated to read Kriya Shema twice a day. And the Rav was bothered by a simple kasha, that why doesn't the Rambam simply tell us that mitzvah saseh likros hashma ba'erev u'baboker? It's a mitzvah to read Kriya Shema at night, a mitzvah to read Kriya Shema during the day. Why is it that the Rambam emphasizes that pa'amayim b'chol yom, as though it's a single kiyum to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema balayla and to repeat it during the day? In fact, we'll see in Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, but the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Yud counts Kriya Shema as a single mitzvah, to say the Kriya Shema twice, once at night, and to do so during the day. And that seems to be the emphasis here of the Rambam's Chiddush, that pa'amayim b'chol yom. What is the significance? So the Rav explained the following Chiddush, that in essence, the purpose of Kriya Shema, as we discussed, is the kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchu Shamayim. And the Rav suggested that in principle, that kiyum is something that is a mitzvah tamidis. That is something that really should envelop the entire day. Unlike, for example, bring the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar and a Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. There in Ochinami, simply the halachi is you bring one carbon in the morning, a single carbon in the afternoon. It's not necessary that the entire day should be enveloped with Hakravas HaKarbanos. Mashenkin, when it comes to the kiyum of Kriya Shema, if in fact its mitzvah is Kabbalah Samalchu Shamayim, so then in essence, one could argue that there is a kiyum that envelops the entire day. In principle, an ongoing kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchu Shamayim. The question is the following. How, in terms of Maisa HaMitzvah, does one fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? The Torah certainly does not expect that a person constantly, each moment of every day, is to makabel malchus shamayim, and therefore the Torah tells us the following. If a person will do so, uveshachvacha, uvkumecha, before a person goes to sleep, he will acknowledge Yichud Hashem, and a person will do so immediately as he rises, therefore al-pidin is considered to be as though the kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim is kol hayom. And therefore, the Rambam writes not just simply that there's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema Balayla and a mitzvah of Kriya Shema Bayom, but rather, pamayim b'chol yom, if a person will recite Kriya Shema twice a day, ba'erev u'baboker, that's considered to be a kiyum nimsheches of Kabbalah Samalchu Shamayim. To the extent that the Rav suggested if a person, for example, would read Kriya Shema at night and fail to do so during the day, there's something lacking in the kiyum of Kriya Shema. It's not just simply that one mitzvah he's fulfilled and the second mitzvah remains unfulfilled, but no, the full kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchu Shamayim is to do so pamayim b'chol yom. And the Rav stressed the following chiddush, that very often when the Rambam introduces a particular sefer, the Rambam quotes a pasuk that seems to capture the thrust, the essence of that sefer. And the Rambam writes in the very beginning of Sefer Ava, the Rambam quotes the pasuk of Tilum, Kapitel Kuf Yutes, that Mahavti Sarasecha Kol Hayom Hisichasi. The Rambam quotes that pasuk as the introduction to the series of halachos that begins with Hilchos Kriya Shema. How is that pasuk appropriate? Kol Hayom Hisichasi. That's the chiddush that the Rav maintained, exactly this point. That in essence, the kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchu Shamayim should be one that expressed itself every moment of each day. It's just simply that the Torah was koveya. If a person does so balayla and a person does so bayom, that is considered to be a ongoing, continuous kiyum of kriyashma, and therefore it is a kiyum of kol hayom ki sichasi. And that's the pasuk that the Rambam chooses. In fact, the Rav emphasized that this is the link that we alluded to in the Yerushalmi in the last year between limud haTorah and kriyashma. That just as when it comes to limud haTorah, certainly the vigisa b'yamam v'layla does not just simply mean that pam b'yom pam b'layla is the extent of the mitzvah of limud haTorah. At most, one could argue, the Gemara Nedarim Daf Ches, the Menachos and Daf Tzaditez, that minimally, pam b'yamam pam b'layla, but certainly that there is a kiyum of limud haTorah the entire day, so too, to an extent, the Rav suggested when it comes to Kriya Shema. They're certainly different in the following sense. When it comes to limud haTorah, there's an actual kiyum to be osek in Torah the entire yom. When it comes to Kriya Shema, if a person will do so betchilas hayom, belayla uvayom, that is considered to be sufficient. But yet the Rav argued it's similar to the concept of Kabbalah Samalchu Shemaim al Yidei limud haTorah itself, that is considered to be an ongoing kiyum. And that's how the Rav understood why it is that the Rambam begins Pamayim b'choyom karnas hashma, in order to emphasize that this is not just simply a mitzvah that is fulfilled independently ba'erev u'baboker, but rather it's considered to be a mitzvah tmidis. With this in mind, the Rav also argued as follows. Look, the Pasuk tells us, as we discussed in the last year, that even though there are many mitzvahs that are dependent on yom versus laila, here the Torah doesn't use the term yom, Torah doesn't use the term laila, but rather uveshach l'chuv kumecha. And as we mentioned, the sugyan brachos nef chesem and beis, zman shchiv and zman kima do not necessarily correspond to yom and laila. Rabbi Kiva Shita, for example, that between Aman HaShachar and Eitzacham always is considered to be laila. However, one can fulfill already the mitzvah of Kriya Shema because of Kumecha is considered to be the Zman Kima. So the Rav pointed out this is not a kasha. That's how the Torah presents, obviously, that there are certain mitzvahs that are a function of yom and laila. When it comes to Kriya Shema, it's not. It's Zman Shchiv and Zman Kima. Why should that be? So the Rav argued, based on this Hagdama, Pamayim b'chayom, kol yom ki sichasi, perhaps you can understand why, in fact, this is true. Just simply in terms of time of dekra. If you're dealing with a mitzvah, which is a mitzvah b'yom, or a mitzvah b'layla, then you're dealing with the concept of yom and layla b'kol haTorah kula. Haman HaShachar, Ornate, Skin, Seis, and the like. Here, really it's a kiyum, which is an extended one. The question is, how is it that a person can envelop the entire day with that theme of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim? So therefore the Torah says if a person does so, when he rises in the morning, before he goes to sleep, he acknowledges Yichud Hashem, that's considered to be Kol Hayom Hisichasi. And therefore you can understand very well why Yom and Laila is not based on the Geder of Yom and Laila B'chol HaTorah Kula, but rather it's based on Uveshoch V'Kumecha, Zman Shchiv, as opposed to Zman Kima. Mufurish in the pasuk, but just simply in terms of a added hezber of time of zakra. Once you argue that uveshach uvkumecha will tell you how it is that one fulfills this ongoing kiyum of kriyashma. So in such a case, you understand why it's not dependent necessarily on yom and laila, but rather it is geared by the zman shchiva and the zman kima. So the Rav commented that this, of course, fits in very well as mentioned with the fact that in minyan hamitzvot the Rambam counts kriyashma as a single mitzvah, to recite Kriya Shema at night and to repeat Kriya Shema during the day. And the Ramban and Shoreshit Aleph is master that that should not be true, that one should count Kriya Shema as two independent mitzvahs, a mitzvah to count Kriya Shema v'alayla, a mitzvah to count Kriya Shema v'yom. This is what the Rambam addresses in the Sharashim to Sefer HaMitzvos. How is it that one counts Chelek Mechelke HaMitzvah? There are many examples that the Torah gives us of mitzvot that are made up of component parts. Are they to be counted independently, minyan ha-mitzvot, or should a person count them as one simple, general mitzvah? The Rambam writes the following chiddush. When it comes, for example, to Dalet Minyan Shebelulav, the Rambam counts that as a single mitzvah, to take the lulav, that's the Hadassah and Arava. When it comes, for example, to tefillin, there the Rambam counts the tefillah shayad and tefillah sharosh as two completely independent kiyumim, in mitzvah aleph and in mitzvah yud beis. Why is that true? Why is it that tefillin is considered to be two separate mitzvahs, dalaminim is considered to be a single kiyum? The Rambam explains very simply the following, a fundamental difference. Let's say a person, for example, doesn't have the esrog. There's no kiyum to take the lulav, the hadas, and arava. The dalet minyan shebelulav are, in fact, ma'akvin zeze. However, when it comes to the Tfilo Shayad and Tfilo Shorosh, in such an instance, Ein Makvin Zezeh. So therefore, if you want to know as the rule of thumb whether something is to be counted as a single mitzvah or independent mitzvahs, whether it's in fact the mitzvah ifnei atzma or chelek mechelkei mitzvah, so the Rambam writes in the Sharashim, ask yourself very simply, are they ma'akvin zezeh or ein ma'akvin zezeh? Dalad minun shebelulav, ma'akvin zezeh. Mashenki, when it comes to the tefillah shoyad and the tefillah shorosh. The Ramban, in fact, in the Hasagos and Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, is bothered by the following. The Rambam writes that there's one mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, to build the Mishkan, and to furnish it with all the necessary kelim. The Rambam counts that in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Chaf, Vosli Mikdash V'Shachamti B'Socham, a single kiyum. And the Ramban, in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, the Mitzvah Big Day Kahuna, writes that why should that be so? That doesn't seem to conform to the Rambam's method, to the Rambam's criteria. After all, if you count mitzvos independently, when they're ein makvin zezeh, and the only time you count them as a single mitzvah is like dal minyan shebelulav, which are makvin zezeh, so how does that relate then to the case of klei hamikdash? Let's assume, for example, a person is missing a particular kli. Is it true makvin zezeh? If a person doesn't have a menorah, so therefore the rest of the avodah will cease and it can no longer function, the Ramban writes that certainly not. The Ramban tells us not kriven karban al safal pi yishen habayis banoi. The Ramban quotes that the Rambam himself writes in Perek Vav, Avochus Beis HaBechira. So therefore, when it comes to Asiyas HaMishkan V'Kelev, how is it possible that the Rambam counted as a single mitzvah? L'chora, that should be similar to the case of Tfilin, where each of the Klei HaMikdash are Ein Ma'akvin Zezeh. Mashen Kein, according to the Rambam, it's similar to the case of Dal Min Shablulav, where it's counted as a single kiyum. That's the kasha of the Ramban in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel. The Ramban himself gives a very, very different answer. The Ramban, and this is why the Ramban discusses this in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, the Mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna. The Rambam writes that there's a Mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna, and the Kohen is obligated to wear the Big Day Kahuna L'chavr L'sifares. The Rambam writes a separate Mitzvah, Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, of Levishas Big Day Kahuna. A very great chiddush. The Ramban is masig on the Rambam, that why is that true? Why is Levisha's Big Day Kahuna a mitzvah at all? That first, right, refers you to the Halachos Gedolos, where the Ramban tells us does not count Levisha's Big Day Kahuna as a mitzvah at all. Why is that true? The Ramban writes the following chiddush. There's no independent mitzvah of Levisha's Big Day Kahuna, but rather the need for a Kohen to wear Big Day Kahuna is simply a Hechshir Avodah. Bizman Shebigdan Alehen, if the Kohen will perform avoda without Big Day Kuna, the avoda is mechuleles. So as a hechsher avoda, it's necessary for the Kohen to wear Big Day Kuna. That's the chiddush the Ramban. The Ramban, in fact, even asks that if, in fact, the Visha's Big Day Kuna is a mitzvah, so in such a case, the Rambam should count it as three independent mitzvahs. The Kohen Hedyot, and the Shmona Begadim of Kohen Gadol, and the Dalit Big Day Lofn of Kohen Gadol. If you're acknowledging that there's an independent Kiyum Levisha, it should be three separate mitzvahs, the Ramban writes. If you're arguing that that's not true, it's only a Hechshir Avodah, so therefore why should it be counted at all? In fact, there are several possibilities in the Rishonim. One possibility is Ramban acknowledges three different mitzvahs of Big Day Kahuna. The other is the Shita of Halachos Gadolos, where there's no mitzvah at all of Big Day Kahuna. The Chiddush of the Rambam that there's a single Kiyum Levishas Big Day Kahuna. And if you look in Rav Sadia Gaon, Rav Sadia Gaon seems to have a fourth Shita. The Rav Sadia Gaon counts Big Day Kahuna as a mitzvah, but it's interesting. He doesn't count it as part of the mitzvah sasei or mitzvah lo sasei. Rav Sadia Gaon counts Big Day Kahuna as part of the mitzvahs hamutalos al hatzibur in the Seder HaParshios. Why is that true? Viruchon Perlow explains that Pashup Shad, according to Rav Sadia Gaon, the mitzvah of Big Day Kuna is not Levishas Big Day Kuna, but the mitzvah is Asiyas Big Day Kuna. And therefore, there's a mitzvah that the Tzibur has to form the Big Day Kuna, to provide the Big Day Kuna. And that is not a Chovas Yachid, that in fact is a Chovas HaTzibur. Four different possible shitas in terms of Big Day Kuna. But the Rambam counts it as an independent mitzvah, and the Ramban writes that that's not true. It's only considered to be a hechshir avodah, and that's the shita of halachos gedolos. It's interesting, the Ramban later in that very piece, in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, writes that although this is the sheet of Halachos Gedolos, the Ramban writes he thinks the Rambam sheet is most mistaber, that there is an independent Kiyum of Levish, and therefore Big Day Kuna should be counted as one of Minyan HaMitzvos. But that's the Chiddush of the Ramban explaining Halachos Gedolos. You don't count Big Day Kuna because it is only a Hechsher Mitzvah, it's a Hechsher Avodah. And how does this link in terms of Oslei Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Sochon? The Ramban writes in the same Chiddush. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah of asiyas klei hamikdash. That's a mitzvah. Why are they not counted independently in minyan hamitzvos? Because it's subsumed under the broadest heading of asli mikdash, v'shachanti v'socham. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban writes, if you're going to argue what's under that general heading, it should be similar to tefillin, where there ain't makvin zezeh, and therefore each one should be counted independently. Why is it then that you do not count asiyas klei hamikdash as an independent mitzvah? The Ramban writes, because just as levishas big day kahuna is only a hechsher mitzvah, it's a hechsher avoda, the same thing is true when it comes to klei hamikdash. Why is it that the Torah tells us that there's a chiyuv to create a mizbeach, to create a shulchan, to create a menorah? The Ramban writes, not because the asiyas hakli itself is considered to be a mitzvah, but rather it is a hechsher avoda. The Torah says there's a mitzvah of hadlokas and hatavas aneros, a mitzvah of hakravas hakarbanos. You understand then very well why it's necessary to have the particular kli in order to perform the particular avoda. So that's the chiddush of the Ramban, that just as Halachos Gedolos writes, you don't count levishas big day kun as a mitzvah, it's only a hechsher mitzvah, hechsher avoda. The same thing is true when it comes to klei hamikdash. That's the chiddush of the Ramban. And therefore, there's no independent mitzvah when it comes to, generally speaking, creating the klei hamikdash. So whereas according to the Rambam, all the klei hamikdash should subsumed under vasli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, according to the Ramban, it is not. But the Ramban admits it's not counted in minyan hamitzvos, but for a very different reason, because it's only considered to be a hechsher avoda. It's also a fascinating machlokas, perhaps l'shitase, between the Rambam and the Ramban. Why is it that the Rambam writes that asiyas klei hamikdash is part of vasli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham? One could argue as follows. What is the purpose of Beis HaMikdash? When you look in the Rambam, very beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, against what the Ramban writes, the beginning of Parshas Truma, you see two very fundamentally different reasons of having a Mishkan and having a Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam writes that what is the purpose of having a Beis HaMikdash? The Rambam writes, it's a makom shemuchon b'lahakiv karbanos. The Torah tells us, vasli mikdash. Why? What's the purpose of mikdash? The answer is, avoda. In fact, the Rambam uses that very term in Sefer HaMitzvos. What is the mitzvah in mitzvah chav? There's a mitzvah to create. The terminology that we have in the Rambam is a beis avoda. Fascinating chiddush. Beis HaMikdash in Mishkan is termed according to the Rambam as being a beis avoda. If that's true, that the kedusha, the chalos of Beis HaMikdash in Mishkan is beis avoda, one can understand very well why the klei avoda are part of the mitzvah of asli mikdash v'shachanti b'salchom. The Ramban in Parshas Truma writes a very different notion. The Ramban tells us what is the purpose of Mishkan, the purpose of Beis HaMikdash, to preserve the hashras hashchina that was present at Mamad HaSinai. Whereas the Rambam terms Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash as being Beis Avoda, the terminology the Ramban uses in the beginning of Parshas Truma is that the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash is a Mekom hashchina. If it's a Mekom HaShchina, one understands very well that the Avoda which is done can be seen independent of the very mitzvah of Asli Mikdash, V'Shachanti B'Selcham. But if you tell me, as the Rambam does, the purpose of the Asiyas HaMikdash and Mishkan is Avoda, HaKravas HaKabanos, you understand L'Shitase, how the Rambam assumes that creating the Klei HaMikdash is part of that structure, Vasli Mikdash. Why the Ramban writes it certainly is not, and the Ramban has to argue otherwise. Why is it that you don't count the Klei HaMikdash independently? Not because it's subsumed under the very purpose and heading and structure of Mishkan, but rather simply there's a mitzvah of Avoda, and creating the Kli is just simply a Hechsher Avoda. That's a very important chiddush. Whereas according to the Ramban, the Kli is part of the mitzvah of Avoda. According to the Rambam, the Kli is part of the Kiyum of Asli Mikdash, V'Shachanti B'Socham. So the The Ramban writes, you don't count all the kelim independently because simply they're considered to be a hechsher avoda. The Ramban writes with a noted exception. The Ramban writes, what about the aron? The Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Truma, v'asu aron. You're obligated to create an aron. That, the Ramban writes, is a mitzvah. Why is an aron different from all other klei hamikdash? The Ramban writes very simply, all other klei hamikdash are defined in terms of a particular avoda, which is performed. Why is it necessary to have a mizbeach for the purpose of hakravas hakarbanos? Why is it necessary to have a menorah for the purpose of hatavas avakas aneros? Why is it necessary to have an aron? There's a particular avoda with which one must fulfill the mitzvah of aron. The Ramban writes, certainly not. How can you argue that asiyas ha'aron is a hechsher mitzvah, is a hechsher avoda? What avoda is it that requires the aron? No doubt the aron plays a special role, but even in the second Beis HaMikdash, as the Rambam writes in Perek Dalef Hochas Beis HaBechira, when the aron was not found in the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, the avoda nonetheless continued. So how can you argue that asiyas ha'aron is considered to be a hechsher mitzvah, a hechsher avoda? So that in fact is the Chiddush the Ramban. Va'asu aron must be an independent mitzvah. However, va'asisa, shulchan, menorah, mizbeach, all of those are considered to be a hechsher mitzvah. That's a fascinating Chiddush of the difference between aron as opposed to shar klei hamikdash. After all, according to the Ramban, the purpose of the mikdash is hashras hashchina. That is attained by the presence of the aron, not the Torah's hechsher avoda, but rather the aron houses the duchos, houses in it or adjacent to it sefer Torah, and therefore that serves as the very mekadesh of Mishkan and Beis Hamikdash. That's the chiddush of the Ramban, that there's a marked difference between aron as opposed to shar klei hamikdash. The Ramban in Parshas Truma also points out that there's another difference between aron as opposed to all other klei hamikdash. When it comes to all other klei hamikdash, the pasuk says ve'asisa b'lashon yachid. When it comes to aron, there the Torah says va'asu aron b'lashon rabim. And the Ramban writes in Parshas Truma, there's a marked difference between lashon yachid versus lashon rabim. Lashon yachid always means that it's not an individual chiyuv which is incumbent upon kol echad v'echad. But if a mitzvah is rendered b'lashon yachid, so if Knesset Yisrael as a whole will fulfill that goal, they will be mekayim that mitzvah, that is considered to be sufficient. When it comes, for example, to counting the years of Yovel, the Safarta Lecha, what does that mean? It's a sphere which is the bezdin. Not each individual is obligated to count the Shnos HaYovel, but rather, as Tosus writes, the Sanhedrin does so collectively on behalf of Knesset Yisrael, Usfartam Lachem Sfira Somer. The Gemara tells us, Menachem Samachay, Sfir Lachol Echad V'Echad, Ulekachtem Lachem, Ulev Nesrog, Lekicha B'Yad Kol Echad V'Echad. Lashon Rabbi means always Lachol Echad V'Echad. Lashon Yachid means that a single entity, Knesset Yisrael as a whole, will fulfill that particular kiyum. So Ramban writes in Parshas Truma, in the name of the Medrash Rabbah, fascinating further distinction. When it comes to Shar Klei HaMikdash, V'yasisa, when it comes to Aron, there the Pasuk says, V'asu Aron. Why is that true? The Ramban quotes the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Truma, V'asu Aron, that Yavo Kulam V'yasku B'Aron, Kedei Shizka Kulam L'Torah. Aron is B'loshen Rabbim. It's not just simply considered to be sufficient if the Tzibur as the whole secures the Aron. The purpose of Shar Klei HaMikdash is simply a Hechsher Avoda. So as long as we see to it that that happens, that there is a Mizbeach, there is a Menorah, there is a Shulchan, that's sufficient. Not true, the Ramban writes, when it comes to Aron. There the Pasuk says, V'asu Aron. Everyone is obligated to participate in Asiyas Aron. You can take a look, the Hemshech, the Ramban. Three different possibilities the Ramban has. How is it that everyone participates in Asiyas Aron? How do you do that? How does all of Klal Yisrael participate in this chiyuv of va'asu aron? It's a fascinating chiddush that the Ramban writes. One possibility the Ramban writes is everyone contributed something to the aron. The other possibility is everyone did something physically, hands-on, to the aron. And the third possibility the Ramban writes, a fantastic chiddush, right? And that's through proper kavana. If everyone will be mechavein, for Vasu Aron, that is considered to be Va'asu L'chol Echad V'Echad, Ayedei Kavana Salev. A very great Chiddush. You can take a look at that Ramban in Parshas Truma. But the Ramban points out two very clear differences between Aron and Shar Kelim. Shar Kelim is simply Hechsher Avoda. It's a Chiyuv which is Mutal on a Tzibur. It's not a Chovas Yachid. Mashenkin, when it comes to Aron, there, it is not at all a Hechsher Avoda, but rather everyone is obligated to some extent to participate in Asiyas Aron, and that is why the Pasuk tells us Va'asu Aron. See, Aron has associated with it, and then we'll tie this back into the aspect of Kriya Shema, two different halachos. Why is it necessary to have an Aron? No. On the one hand, it's necessary to have an Aron b'toras Klei HaMikdash. Now, what is the purpose of the Aron? The Aron is one of the Klei HaMikdash that is absolutely vital. The Rambam stressed in Perek Dalef Ochos Beis HaBechira that even in Bayesheni, although the Aron was not in its appropriate place, but nonetheless, the Aron was in the Makam HaMikdash. Shlomo Melech knew b'nevuah that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, and the Rambam writes, and therefore he built underground chambers where the Aron is housed, ad hayom hazeh. Why is that so necessary? Fascinating. But why is it necessary? The Rav explained because the Rambam understood that the Aron is vital to have the full Kedushas HaMikdash. And therefore, how can you have a Kedushas HaMikdash in Bayis Sheni without an Aron? And the answer the Rambam gives you is that the Aron was no doubt Shelo Bimkomo, but nonetheless, the Aron was present in Makam HaMikdash. So one of the purposes of Aron, no doubt, B'toras Klei HaMikdash, part of the Mishkan, part of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Chora, there is another purpose of Aron as well. Aron is necessary simply to serve its role to house the Luchos. To house the Luchos, independent of the mitzvah of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. Now the Ramban writes, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, he had the Luchos, it was necessary to have an Aron in order to contain the Luchos. Before the mitzvah of Asli Mikdash, v'shachanti b'salchon. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make an Aron 8 in order to temporarily house the Luchos before the Tzivui of Asli Mikdash, v'shachanti b'salcha. So you see that Aron has two halachos. Number one is significant in terms of luchos, and that's true independent of Asli Mikdash, v'shachanti b'salcha. Even number two is that certainly its second halacha is b'toras Klei HaMikdash. V'asli Mikdash, v'shachanti b'salcha, and part of that, no doubt, is Asiyas Aron as well. And therefore the two halachos associated with Aron. Number one, luchos. Number two, b'toras Klei HaMikdash. One could even suggest the following chiddush. This is a chiddush that was suggested by Rav Asher Weiss that writes the following. The luchos must be housed. That's the rule of the Aron. And also the second halacha of Aron b'toras Klei HaMikdash. The Aron was made up of Zahav. The Aron was also made up of Itz, Atzei Shittim. Perhaps one could understand that distinction. B'toras Klei HaMikdash, there it's necessary to have Zahav. No, that's Kavod L'Sifares. In order to house Luchos, there an Aron Eitz is considered to be sufficient for that Kiyum. In fact, the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu built when he came down from Har Sinai to temporarily house Luchos, that the Torah tells us was an Aron Eitz. The Torah only introduces the need for Zahav when it mentions the Aron B'toras Klei HaMikdash, Vosli Mikdash B'Shachanti B'Saucha. If that's true, well, a very fascinating chiddush. Two halachos of Aron. Luchos, Klei HaMikdash. Perhaps one could suggest the chiddush that the Luach and Aron Eitz is simply for the purpose of housing the Luchos. And Zahav, right, that is B'toras, the Kavod and Tifares of Big Day Kohuna, of Klei HaMikdash in a more general sense. And what is the chiyuv the Chol Echad V'Echad? The Pasuk says, Va'osu Aron. Everyone is obligated to do so, b'toras what? B'toras Klei HaMikdash. Everyone is obligated to see to it that you build the Klei HaMikdash. No, Klei HaMikdash, we mentioned, is the chiyuv incumbent upon the tzibur. The chiyuv that each person has is to see to it that he participates in that kiyum of housing the luchos. No? Therefore, a few beautiful diyukim in the pasuk. Number one, as he mentioned, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to build the Aron, irrespective of Mishkan and Mikdash, there was only an Aron Eitz. Number two, Va'asu, V'loshen Rabbim, Va'asu Aron, the pasuk says, Atzeshitim, the Aron ate. That's the chiyu which is kol echad v'echad. Even a further diuk in the pasuk. Torah tells us, Va'asu Aron Atzeshitim, the Ramban writes name in the Medrash, striking, Lashon Rabim, Va'asu. And what's the very next pasuk? V'tzipisa oso zahav. The next pasuk, when the Torah tells you have to overlay it with zahav, all of a sudden the pasuk switches to Lashon Yachid. That's a chiyuv which is mutal al hatzibur. Yeah, the mitzvah of the osu, that's atzei shitim. That means that everyone is obligated to participate in aron, not betoras klei hamigdash. That's a mitzvah which is mutal al hatzibur. Right, betoras luchos, as Moshe Rabbeinu did, vitzipisa, zahav, that enochinami, that is the halacha which is like Shar klei hamikdash. That's a chiyuv which is incumbent upon tzibur, not a chiyuv which is necessarily incumbent upon each yachid. This is the structure, the chiddush of the Ramban when it comes to klei hamikdash and aron. What about the Rambam shita? No, the Rambam just simply said that this is all part of osli mikdash v'shachanti b'salcham, and therefore you don't count any of the klei hamikdash individually. And what was the kasha of the Ramban? That seems to make very good sense, the Ramban writes, when it comes to Dalaminim Shebelulav, where they're Ma'akvin Zezeh. But if Ein Ma'akvin Zezeh, doesn't that indicate that they are independent mitzvos? And since when it comes to Klei HaMikdash, Ein Ma'akvin Zezeh, so in such a case, they should be counted individually, independently, not as a single kiyum. So Slavasik suggested the following Chiddush, that, you know, if you have the example of Dalet Minim, Ma'akvin Zezeh, so in such a case, good. That's a clear indicator that it's considered to be a single mitzvah. You need the Lulav, the Esrog, the Hadas, and the Rava, each one is indispensable. That's a single kiyum. What about the flip side? What if you're dealing with those cases where something is not Ma'akev? If for whatever reason that was not present or that aspect was not fulfilled, nonetheless, you're Yotzei the mitzvah. Is that always an indication of independence, or is it not? So here the Rav argued as follows. Ein Ma'akvin Zezeh can be understood in two opposite ways. Sometimes Ein Ma'akvin Zezeh means independent mitzvos. When we say, when it comes to tefillin, that the tefillah shorosh and the tefillah shayad are Ein Ma'akvin Zezeh, what does that mean? Two independent mitzvos. And that's what the Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos. Each one is a mitzvah bifnei atzma. But there are other clear examples where something is not ma'akev, where it does not mean it's an independent kiyum. It means, when we use the phrase, something is not ma'akev, what does it mean? It's secondary, it's ancillary, it's dispensable. Let's assume when it comes to chalitza, for example. The Rambam writes in Reish Yud Zayin that there's a mitzvah of chalitza. Good? And chalitza is made up of many different components. Chalitza saminho, and also the kriya saparsha, also rekika. Let's assume, for example, chalitza is done, and the spitting didn't occur. There was no rekika. Is that vital? The Mishnah tells us no. Rekika is ena makeves. So if you're writing the Sefer HaMitzvos, you would count rekika as a separate mitzvah? No, of course not. There ena makeves means the following. In order to fulfill the mitzvah b'shlemusa, it's necessary to fulfill the mitzvah with all of its components. However, minimally, if A is done, even if B is not, B is dispensable. Not that B is an independent kiyum. So sometimes if you have that which is not ma'akev, sometimes it means absolute independence. Sometimes it means it's only considered to be a secondary element of the mitzvah, which is not essential in order to fulfill the mitzvah daraisa. Rekika is a classic example. It doesn't mean it's an independent kiyum. It means that the chalitza will nonetheless be performed even if the rekika does not occur. That, the Rav pointed out, is how the Rambam understands, for example, Tcheles and Lavan. Last Shabbos is Parsha. Tcheles and Lavan. Ma'akvin Zezeh, Ein Ma'akvin Zezeh, Mishnah Menachos, Naflam Erches. The Rambam assumes Ein Ma'akvin. Even without Tcheles, nonetheless, one can still fulfill the mitzvah's Lavan. And despite the fact that the Rambam paskins Ein Ma'akvin Zezeh, the Rambam counts Tcheles and Lavan and Sefer HaMitzvos, the mitzvah Yedalit, as a single mitzvah. That was the kasher of Daniel HaBavli. This is addressed by Rav Avraham ben Oshel HaRambam. What's the difference between Tcheles and Lavan as opposed to the Tefillah Shoyad and the Tefillah Sharosh? The answer the Rav explained is the following. Tefillah Shoyad and Tefillah Sharosh are independent mitzvos. It's not that there's any preference, for example, to the Tefillah Shoyad over the Tefillah Sharosh. Not true, the Shita Sarambam, when it comes to Tcheles and Lavon. Those are not equal components of the mitzvah. The Rambam's understanding of Tcheles and Lavon is very, very different. The Rambam writes, just as an example, in the very beginning of Hilchos Tzitzis, what's the breakdown of Tcheles and Lavon when it comes to Tzitzis? How many Chutei Lavon, how many Chutei Tcheles? The Rambam writes that 7 out of the 8 of the Chutei Tzitzis are Lavon, and the Rambam writes that it's necessary to have a psil tcheles, 1 out of 8, in order to create the chulios, the krichos, to braid, to tie the tzitzis. The Rambam understood, this is what the Netziv points out, the Shiltos and Kuf Chav Zayin, that there's an essential machlokes between Rashi and Tosas on the one hand, against the Rambam and Ravid on the other. Rashi and Tosas maintain that the division of tcheles and lavan is an equal one. 4 strands of Tcheles, 4 strands of Lavan. The Rambam and Ravid understood, no, that's not true at all. Tzitzis are essentially Lavan, with the need to create the Chulios, the Krichos, the Psil Tcheles. And the Rambam writes it's 1 out of 8, and the Ravid writes it's 2 out of 8. But the Netziv points out there's a fundamental difference. According to the Shita of Rashi and Tosas, one could argue it's comparable to the Tefillin Shayad and Tefillin Sharosh. They're 2 independent Kiyumim. Ein makvin zezeh. If you don't have one, you still have the other. One could envision that they should be counted in Sefer Mitzvot as 2 different mitzvahs. The Netziv comments, according to the Rambam Shita, 7 out of 8 of the Chutin are Lavan. The Cheftzah Shel Tzitzis is Lavan. The Torah tells us you create and you braid with the Psil Tcheles. So what does it mean to assume that if you don't have Tcheles, the mitzvah is still fulfilled? Very simply, that the braiding can be done, if necessary, with one of the chutei lavan, if you don't have tcheles. So what does it mean when we assume that tcheles is not makev? It means that is a kium, but nonetheless it's dispensable, in the sense that the mitzvah b'shleimusa of tzitzis is tcheles and lavan. If, however, a person will only have lavan, so in such a case, nonetheless, the mitzvah is fulfilled. That does not indicate at all independence of the mitzvah of tcheles. That's the chiddush, or Soloveitchik explained, of the Rambam Shita. And that's why the Rambam writes that tefillin are 2 separate mitzvahs. The very next mitzvah, and sefer mitzvahs, is tzitzis, where even though the tcheles is not makev es lavan, nonetheless, it's only counted as a single mitzvah. That's the chiddush of the Rambam Shita. Rav pointed out this is also true when it comes to Klei HaMikdash. One mitzvah, Vasli Mikdash B'Shachanti B'Socham. The Ramban says, what do you mean? Aren't they Ein Ma'akvin? Let's assume you don't have a menorah. So, Beis HaMikdash can still function. You can still have Hakravas HaKarbanos. So doesn't that indicate independence? It should be counted as a separate mitzvah. The Rav argued, no, that menorah in Mishkan Beis HaMikdash is similar to Rekika in Chalitza, similar to Tcheles when it comes to Tzitzis. The mitzvah Bishlei Musa is Vosli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Socham. However, minimally, if you will have the Kedushas HaMikdash, even though you don't have an Mizbeach, for example, or if you don't have a menorah, nonetheless the Shara Vodos can in fact continue. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. That does not indicate that they are 2 separate mitzvot at all, but rather that is considered to be a single kiyum of Vasli Mikdash v'shachanti b'salcham. So the Rambam Shita is that you can have cases where ein makvin zezeh, but nonetheless it's considered to be a single kiyum ha-mitzvah. Not only is that true of Klei HaMikdash, but this is the Rambam Shita when it comes to Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, the Rambam writes, is a single mitzvah. And that's the Hasagas Ramban in Shorash Yir Aleph. How can that be? Isn't that exactly like the case of Tfilin, where Ein Makvin Zezeh? A person will read Kriya Shema at night. The fact that he didn't do so the next morning does not compromise his kiyum of Kriya Shema Balayla. And the same thing is true in the opposite case as well. Isn't that exactly comparable to the case of the Tefillah Shayad and Tefillah Sharosh? And apparently the Rambam is of the opinion that that's not true. That's the Chiddush of Pamayim B'Choyom, Karnas Hashma'ah. It's not that there are two independent mitzvos at all, but rather the mitzvah b'shleimusa is to read the Kriya Shema as the Rambam terms, Pamayim B'Choyom. It is true. If a person will do so once, it doesn't mean that that Kriya is absolutely meaningless. It is not comparable to the case of Dav Min Shebelulav. But on the other hand, the mitzvah b'shleimusa of Kriya Shema is only fulfilled if Kriya Shema is recited uv'shach lecha uv'kumecha. And that's why the Rambam counts it, many mitzvahs, as a single kiyum. And why should that be true? Why is it that the Kriya Shema of the morning should impact in any shape or form on the Kriya Shema which is recited at night? That was the Chiddush the Rav pointed out, because the kiyum of Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim. And Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim, the Rav felt, was a mitzvah tmidis in the sense that that should extend and envelop the entire day. But the Torah tells us if a person will do so pamayim b'chayom, that is considered to be al pidin tamid. If a person only does so once and doesn't do so during the day, or the opposite, so in such an instance, he has failed to envelop, to sandwich the entire day around Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim. That is not the kiyum mitzvah b'shleimusa of Kriya Shema. So therefore, the Rav commented that that simple heading that the Rambam writes, that kol hayom hisichosi, comparable to Limud HaTorah, the fact that the Rambam writes pamayim b'chayom, the fact that the Rambam counts Kriya Shema in minyan ha-mitzvahs as a single mitzvah, all indicates that perhaps Kriya Shema are not two independent kiyumim as the Ramban suggests, but rather it is considered to be comparable to those other cases as mentioned, where yes, one can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema at night without day, day without night, but nonetheless, the mitzvah b'shleimusa requires that the mitzvah is fulfilled in its entirety. That's the uniqueness of our obligation of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim. So we discussed in the last year, Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim requires Kriya Shema, requires Yichud Hashem, and the various dayas that you have in the Rishonim, what exactly is necessary midaraisa? To what extent is necessary to recite the first pasuk of Kriya Shema? Clear? The Chiddush of the Rashba and the Ramban, that that's sufficient? The Chiddush Prichodas writes of Rashi Shita, first parsha, Tosos two parshios, and the Chiddush we discussed at length, the Rambam Shita, of all three parshios that comprise the mitzvah daraisa of Kriya Shema. What about the extra phrase that we always recite of Baruch Shem Kavod? To what extent is that considered to be part of Kriya Shema? To what extent is that not? The Gemara Pesachim tells us in Daf Nun Vav that Baruch Shem Kavod, Reish Lakish tells us, was based on the following. We know that the Torah tells us in Bereishis and Pasuk Mem Tes that Yaakov Avinu gathered all the Shiftei Ka with the apparent intent to be Megala Keitz Hayamim. All of a sudden, Nistalka Mimeno Shechina. All of a sudden, Yaakov Avinu realized that the Shechina had left him. He was choshish that perhaps the reason for that was because there was some psul in his zera, in the children. All of a sudden, the Shiftei Ka responded and said Kriya Shema, and Yaakov Avinu responded and said Baruch Shem Kavod. That, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim Daf Nun Vav, the source of the Baruch Shem Kavod that we recite in our Kriya Shema. The Gemara says to say Baruch Shem Kavod out loud, how can we do so? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu did not include that in the Torah Hashem. To omit it entirely, how can we do so? That was the response of Yaakov Avinu. So therefore the Gemara says that Hiskinu She'omer Oso B'chashai, and therefore the Takana was to recite it silently. How do you understand, right, this Chiddush of the Gemara, the need to recite Baruch Shem Kavod? This is what the Gemara discusses, as mentioned, Sachim Daf Nun Vav, what the Rambam writes in Perak Aleph, Halacha Daled, Hilchos Kriya Shema. The Rambam reiterates the entire episode of Yaakov Abanav. Is Baruch Shem Kavod also considered to be part of the Kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim, part of Yichud Hashem? Or perhaps one could argue it has a very different, almost secondary role. Mashlama HaDavadom, the Gemara tells us that in Brachos and Afkafal of Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havogod Lelokeinu, right? The Gemara uses that, as we discussed in last year, for the purpose of Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara uses this in Yuma to tell us, for example, when the Kohen Gadol says, the Shem HaMforash, Ki Shem HaShem Ekra, HaVogol Elokeinu. That must elicit a certain response of the Tzibur. When everyone is Mazkir Shem HaShem either as Kohen Gadol, he says the Shem HaMforash, or even Mazkir Shem HaShem as Ki Shem HaShem Ekra HaVogol Elokeinu. Poshup Shat in that Drasha, this is not what Rashi writes, in the Sigin Brachos Navchaf Aleph, but Poshup Shat, Lechor in the Drasha of the Gemara, Ki Shem HaShem Ekra means the following, that when the Torah Hashem will be called out, will be read, HaVogol Elokeinu are obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah. That's how the Marashah explains the Sigin Brachos Navchaf Aleph. Kishem Hashem Akrav Agud Elokeinu. Rashi writes something very different. Rashi writes that Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Klal Yisrael and said, Kishem Hashem Akrav, when I recite Birchas HaTorah, HaVogol Elokeinu, Ta'anu Amen. Like, what was the response? What was the give and take? The Marashah writes that Pashup Shan, the Gemara is, Moshe Rabbeinu would declare the Dvar Hashem, the Torah, and Knesset Yisrael responded with the Chiyuv Bracha, Birchas HaTorah. Rashi writes that no, Moshe Rabbeinu was about to deliver the Torah Hashem, so he turned to Klal Yisrael and says, I am about to recite first Birchas HaTorah, and you answer Amen to the Birchas HaTorah that I recite. In other words, it's a response to a bracha. Just like the Kohen Gadol invokes the Shem HaMforash, and we respond by Baruch Shem Kavod. Good. One could argue as follows, that just as the Kohen Gadol states Shem HaMforash, and konim va'am shayu shomim, when we hear, we recite Baruch Shem Kavod, the same thing was true as Yaakov Abanav. Here all the Shiftei Ka from Makabal HaMalchus Shemayim, they said Shema Yisrael, and the response of Yaakov, you know, was Baruch Shem Kavod as a normal response of Yichud Hashem. No? Just like when the Kohen Gadol says the Shem HaMforash. In other words, that the Baruch Shem Kavod was simply almost secondary or ancillary divrei shevach in response to Yichud Hashem. Or perhaps one could argue in a somewhat different way that Baruch Shem Kod Mechus L'Valad, that when Mispala, that the reign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should endure forever and ever, that's not just simply right, a response, that is considered to be an inherent part of Kabbalah, so Malchus Shamayim. That even though the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, that is the Ikar Pasuk of Yichud Hashem, Yaakov nonetheless responded with Baruch Shem Kavod, which also is part of the Kiyum of Kabbalah, so Malchus Shamayim. Not just simply that, the Kohen Gadol says the Shem HaMforash, and we respond, Baruch Shem Kavod B'Torah Divrei Shevach, but much more than that, but that's considered to be an inherent part of Kabbalah, so Malchus Shamayim. There are many indications, Mishabur writes this Keseder in Hilchos Kriyashma, that at least on level Derabanan, Baruch Shem Kavod is part of Yichud Hashem, part of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim, comparable to the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael. Here, for example, Beis Yosef writes in the very beginning of Simen Samach Vav, that it's necessary for a person to recite Shema Yisrael, and a person should not be mafsik. The Beis Yosef writes at length, and that's the first halacha, the Mechaber writes in Simen Samach Vav, not to be mafsik in between Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kavod. After all, Mishnah Berurah explains, because Baruch Shem is considered to be an inherent part of Yichud Hashem, and therefore the halachos of Hefsek treat that as a single unit. It is not treated as Ben HaPrakim. The Mechaber writes there has to be an extreme dire circumstance in order to be mafsik in between the pasuk of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kavod, because all that is considered to be part of the Kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim. And in fact, the Mechaber writes earlier in Simen Samach Aleph that one should in fact be mafsik in between Baruch Shem Kavod and V'Ahavta, because Baruch Shem Kavod is part of Shema Yisrael, that is considered to be part of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim, and then you go on to the Parsha of V'Ahavta, and therefore the Mechaber writes that one in fact is mafsik through pausing in between those two particular points. The Mechaber writes, for example, that the Kavana, that one has for Shema Yisrael, that that is the same type of kavana which is necessary even for the pasuk of Baruch Shem Kavod. That's what Mechaber writes in Samach Gimel in Sif Dalet, that the Iker kavana is for the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, and the Mishnah Berurah adds in Sif Kot Nir Aleph that that also applies not only to the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael, but also to Baruch Shem Kavod as well. We treat that as an extended form of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. Bnei Yisrael were Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, then Yaakov Avinu responded with an act, not simply of Divrei Shevach, but a further form of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, all of which are incorporated in our expression of Yichud Hashem. In fact, there is a fascinating levush that the Mishnah Berurah discusses at length in the Bir Halacha in Siman Samach Aleph, where the levush seems to suggest that Baruch Shem Kavod is ma'akev, that if a person doesn't recite Baruch Shem Kavod, he doesn't, or at least doesn't fully fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Right, the very great Kiddush. Mishnah Berurah questions how that could possibly be, to assume that Baruch Shem Kavod is ma'akev and one doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. Mishnah Berurah suggests in Bir Halacha that Levush never even meant to go that far. Levush was just emphasizing the role of Baruch Shem Kavod as part of Yichud Hashem, part of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, but not to infer that the absence of Baruch Shem Kavod would mean that you're not Yotzei. After all, the Mishnah in the very beginning of the second parak of Brachos, the Mishnah tells us, Hayakore betorah v'yigiyaz man amikra, im kivin libo yotza. The Mishnah describes a person simply as reading, right, from the Sefer Torah. And it so happens that, it is the Zman Kriyashma, and he happens to be reading the Parshios of Kriyashma. So the Mishnah tells us, im kivin libo yotza. Rashba points out, there are many chedushim then in that line in the Mishnah. Rashi points out, number one, Birchos Kriyashma were not recited. Apparently you see that Birchos Kriyashma are not vital in order to fill the mitzvah of Kriyashma. This we'll have to discuss in the next year. The relationship of Birchos Kriyashma to the Kriyashma itself, to what extent are they considered to be Birchos HaMitzvah and Kriyashma, or part of the Kiyum of Kriyashma, or maybe simply part of the Kiyum Tfilah. But the Rashba points out, Hayakara b'Torah Gizman Mikra, and Kivin Leba Yatza, the person is simply reading out of the Sefer Torah, and he reads the proper Parshas Yotzei. So number one, there are no brachos. Number two, the Rashba points out, if you follow the sequence of Sefer Torah, you're reading the Parshas out of order. And nonetheless, that apparently is not Makev as well. If you're just simply reading the sequence of Parshas in Torah, don't you have a great hefsek? After all, right, you'll read one Parsha, but the next parsha is not going to be consecutive, right? You're going to read many, many psukim in between. The Rashi points out, apparently you see from that Mishnah as well, that even though there is a great time lapse where you're reading other psukim that are not at all part of Kriya Shema, nonetheless, you are still Yotzei. And here the Bir Halacha comments in Siman Samach Aleph, Hayakara b'Torah, certainly there's no mention of Baruch Shem Kavod, and therefore he finds it very difficult to assume that Baruch Shem Kavod could be ma'akev mikra hadin, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, to argue that it's part of the kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim that we've seen, right? That there's certainly ample precedent. That's what the Beis Yosef explains, that Yaakovina was not just simply responding with Divrei Shevach, but that was Yaakovina's affirmation of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. In the Targum Yerushalmi, in that whole episode, it's printed in Mikros Gedolos and Breishis and Memtes, it describes that Bnei Yaakov reciting Shema Yisrael and Yaakov in responding by saying Yehi Shmei Rabba, not Baruch Shem Kavod, Yehi Shmei Rabba, a further act of Yichud Hashem, a further notion of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, maybe not just simply Divrei Shevach, but rather part of the Kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. To assume, however, this is truly Ikuva, that of course is a very, very great Kiddush. So we discussed thus far what constitutes Kriya Shema on the level of the Rice in terms of Parshios, the addition of Baruch Shem Kavod, perhaps not just simply as Divrei Shevach, but rather as being at least Midrabanan, part of the Kiyum of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, as to fulfill the mitzvah b'shlemusa, but not Makev b'di'eved. And now we'll have to discuss the role of Birchos Kriya Shema. To what extent are they part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? One could argue, nothing at all to do with Kriya Shema. Birchos Kriyas Shema simply are a kiyum of tefillah. Or one could argue that they play at least a role of Birchos HaMitzvah Kriyas Shema. Otherwise, you could ask yourself a very simple kasha, why then is there no other Birchos HaMitzvah which introduces the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema? What happened? The Gemara tells us from Sachem Adav Zayin that all mitzvahs to recite require a bracha over lasiyasan. Why is that not the case here? And the Rambam, who even seems to go a step further and argue that the Birchos Kriyas Shema themselves are part of the kiyum of Kriyas Shema. Not simply Birchos HaMitzvah, but even greater. The Rambam writes as an example, let's assume a person is faced with a situation of a suffix, whether he fulfilled the mitzvah daraisa or whether he did not. So you'll tell a person, you have to do it again? After all, sveika daraisa lechumra. Does a person make a bracha in such an instance? A person has a suffix regarding the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. So I will tell the person, yom rishon, a mitzvah daraisa, you have to take lulav and esrog once again? Sveika daraisa lechumra. So the person will ask me, do I make a bracha or do I not? After all, should I argue, good, the mitzvah is a mitzvah daraisa, but the chiyuv bracha is only drabanan. And therefore we will paskin when it comes to the bracha, safek bracha uslahakel, when it comes to the mitzvah, sveika daraisa lachumra. Or maybe one could argue that's not true, machlokas Rambam and Ravid, that once we assume sveika daraisa lachumra, you're obligated to repeat the mitzvah, you're obligated to repeat the mitzvah b'shlemusa, even to make the Birchas HaMitzvah as well. That's the Ravid Shita. But the Rambam Shita is clear in many places, as we'll see. In a case of Sveika Daraisa L'Chumra, the mitzvah is performed, but no bracha is recited, with the exception of what the Rambam writes regarding Kriyas Shema. In a case of Safek Kara Kriyas Shema, Safek Lo Kara. What's the halacha? That's Sugin Bracha, Sinaf Chaf Aleph. We began the last year with the machlokas between the Chachamim and Shmuel. Shmuel is of the opinion Kriyas Shema is only a din drabanan. So safek kara Kriyas Shema, safek lo kara, eino chozev kore. You don't repeat. Safek drabanan is lekula. And the Chachamim disagree and assume no, that Kriyas Shema is a din daraisa, and therefore sveke daraisa lechumra. The Rambam adds the very great chiddush that chozer u'mevarech. That not only do you recite the Kriyas Shema, but even Birchos Kriyas Shema are recited as well. This is especially striking in the Rambam Shita. Maybe one could have argued, even if you'll assume when it comes to a Birchos HaMitzvah, in Safek Daraisa L'Chumra, you repeat the Birchos HaMitzvah, because the Birchos HaMitzvah and the mitzvah are so inherently linked, it serves as a single kiyum, to the extent that the Safek Mitzvah requires a bracha. The Rambam is the one who writes the opposite. That even though when it comes to a mitzvah, sveika daraisa lechumra does not extend to a bracha, safek brachas lahakel, the Rambam writes that's not true when it comes to birchas Kriyas Shema. There's safek kara Kriyas Shema that chozer v'kori, and the Rambam writes, umavarech. Apparently, you see, according to the Rambam Shita, that the link of Kriyas Shema u'birchoseha is even stronger than your average case of a Birchas HaMitzvah and the performance of the mitzvah at hand. So we'll have to discuss the next shir at length the various roles that Birchos Kriyas Shema play, and the simple kasha addressed by the Rishonim, why is it that there isn't a standard, short, concise Birchas HaMitzvah recited on the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema? So far again we've discussed the structure of Kriyas Shema, the role of Baruch Shem Kavod, what is Daraisa, what is Drabanan, the Chiddush of the relationship between Kriyas Shema Balayla and Kriyas Shema Baboker. Now we'll have to discuss the broader context, Kriyas Shema in its brachos and its relationship to tefillah.